Let me read my text for you this evening from Exodus chapter 15, and I'll begin at the 22nd verse. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Brackish waters, what it was. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And Moses, he cried before the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." Literally, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, a new paragraph and a new thought, verse 27. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. I want to talk to you about the waters of Marah tonight. And I'll give you several things, and I'm just going to kind of jump right into the message here very quickly. Number one, the blessedness of Marah over Elim. Say, "Jim, I believe you got that wrong." Maybe you should be talking about the blessedness of Elim over Marah. No, I said it right the first time. The blessedness of Marah over Elim. In my preparation for this message, I read 3 or 4 messages by Mr. Spurgeon. I always enjoy reading him. He can give you insight into a passage of Scripture and maybe give you a few thoughts that you hadn't had on your own. I appreciate, by the way, so I read something not long ago. It said, "He who will not use the brains of others shows he has no brains of his own." So I think it is a wise thing to use the brains of others. And Mr. Spurgeon, he told this story in one of his messages. He was down in France. He went to, Mentone, France, quite often. He had lots of physical ailments, and he died a relatively young man. He didn't even make 60 years of age, 57, 58, something like that. But he had lots of trouble with sickness, and so he would often leave the ministry there in London, and for a very few days he'd go down to France. They had the hot baths there. They were rather soothing to him, And of course, it was a better climate for his for the ailments that he had. But while he was there on one visit, he took a bad fall, got all bruised, and he was had his aches and pains. And we, several of us, know something about falling, and he was just suffering something awful. And a brother in the Lord came to see him, to visit him, and he said, my dear beloved friend, you have now come to Marah. And Mr. Spurgeon said, yes, and I can tell you, the waters are very bitter. And the visitor said, but Marah is better than Elam. For in Elam, the Israelites only drank of the water and ate of the fruit and enjoyed the shade of the trees, the palm trees, and very soon it was over. But he said it was at Marah that the Lord revealed himself as the God who heals you. Marah is the more blessed location than Elam. You see, Israel, they learned a lot at Marah. Well, they learned about themselves. Hey, they had just come through the Red Sea. Ron read to us this morning the previous verses of chapter 15. They just sang the song of redemption. It's 72 hours before this. Why, they're a joyful people. They're a happy people. They're a thankful people. And then they got to Marah. That's where they learned more about themselves. They weren't nearly as strong in faith as they thought they were. They were actually quite weak in faith. And rather than, as Moses did, to seek God's face, cry out to God, they murmured. I tell you something about the bitter experiences of life. It'll teach you about yourself. You're not nearly as advanced in spirituality as you think you are. And there are some very bitter experiences of life that God can use to bring out within you what is still there. We haven't progressed very far in reality. I know we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But our God, He puts these bitter waters in front of us in order to make us understand more about our nature, about ourselves. My dear friends, we're still sinful people. There's nothing to us. There isn't anything to us. If God the Holy Spirit should leave us, we'd just fall flat on our faces. We just wouldn't last. But I'll tell you something else they learned. I'll tell you why Marah, it's more blessed to go to the bitter waters of Marah than Elam. Because it was at Marah that God revealed himself to them as the Lord that heals thee. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who restores. They learned more about the Lord. Oh, who wouldn't want to stay at Elam? Give me a choice. Well, here's your choice. You can go to the bitter waters of Marah, brackish waters. Or you can go to Elam, where there are lots of palm trees blowing gently in the breeze, lots of fruit, lots of shade, much enjoyment. Now, where you want to go? I know what this flesh wants. I'll always choose Elam. And so will you. And we're thankful that God in his marvelous providence does bring us to Elams in life. But I noted in this portion of Scripture, and I was, of course, been reading on it all week, that there are 5 verses that are devoted to the bitter waters of Marah and God healing them, and only 1 verse devoted to Elam. Because you see, we learn more. There's the blessedness of Marah. These bitter, difficult troubles of life, it's God who brings us to them. And it's God who uses them to reveal what we still are, reminding us that we need the Savior. We need the blood. We need the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And then every once in a while, thankfully, mercifully, He takes us to an oasis, which, in my estimation, this is like Elam here. Elam is where you worship, over there, among the saints of God. This is where we're refreshed. This is where we drink of the cool waters of the gospel, of God's redeeming grace. This is where we get out of the hot sun of the trials of life and the troubles of life and the bad news of life and all the negativity that's out there. It's right here in Elam. I'm thankful for Elam. But you can't live in Elam all the time. And the Israelites must not stay at Elam, because Elam, though it was pleasant, it wasn't the land of promise. This is not our rest. That's what the Scripture says. Oh, the blessedness of Marah over Elam. You see, we must need the bitter waters of Marah. Otherwise, God wouldn't lead us to them. Isn't that right? We must need them. We must need Marah. And He also needs it every once in a while. We need Elam too. To just get out of the troubles for a while. Mr. Spurgeon also said this: our lives are the canvas on which the Lord, He paints His own character. He teaches us, because when we go through the trouble, we go through the trial, if you belong to God, you'll say with David, "It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." That's how it will learn. This is our education. You see, when the Lord led, and I'm going to go into this in just a minute, when the Lord led them to the bitter waters of Marah, that's part of their education. They've got to learn their own insufficiency and the all-sufficiency of their God, who is their healer. So Israel learned more about themselves at Marah than they did at Elam. And they learned more about their Lord. At Elim, it was sit back, relax, take it easy, enjoy the shade, enjoy the water, enjoy the fruit. But it was at the bitter waters of Marah that they were made to understand more fully who the Lord is. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's a God who heals. The God who heals. And then here's the second thing I want to talk to you about. The leading of the Lord. How'd they wind up at the bitter waters of Marah anyhow? Well, look at verse 22 again. So Moses brought Israel to the Red Sea. And that word brought means he caused them to journey that way. Well, how did he cause, how did Moses know to take them that way? Pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day. He said, let's go. They had camped, made camp after the crossing of the Red Sea and rejoiced in the goodness of God and gave thanksgiving and all of that. And then a cloud began to move. Moses said, up, pack up your stuff, fold up your tents. We're moving. And I'll tell you, the 22nd verse, this is the very beginning of the wilderness journey right here. This is the very beginning. It's not going to end for 40 years. This is where it begins. And they're led by God Himself. Don't pay any attention to those who preach this false gospel called a prosperity gospel. Health and wealth. God only wants you to prosper, be well. Not His will for you to be sick. All this kind of stuff. Listen, it's God who led them to the bitter waters. It's God who made the waters bitter. And it's God who made the bitter waters to be sweet. This is all of the Lord. He led them. He led them. At Marah, you see, we understand how quickly that glorious song of redemption can be forgotten and start murmuring again. And it didn't take long. 3 days. Now, hey, have no water for 3 days? Probably they had some canteens and that sort of thing, but they didn't get any fresh water at the Red Sea. That's salt water. And I would never say that this was an insignificant trial, because they had to have water. They had their babies, they had their children, the older folks, the middle-aged folks, they got to have water. Then there's all their cattle, there's all their sheep. They've got to have water. This is a very severe trial. But back of the trial is the God of purpose who's leading them. You think of the benefits that they had received from God. And all of a sudden, the memory of those mercies have just evaporated. It's like they forgot all about how God brought them out of Egyptian bondage. And they forgot about the Passover lamb, about the power of God. How that God opened the way through the Red Sea, and then he drowned Pharaoh and all of his mighty army. They forgot about that. And they go 72 hours and now they're belly aching against the providence of God. Do you know anybody like that? Do you know anybody who forgets so quickly the grace of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God, and that He has imputed the righteousness of the Lord Jesus to us. And then you find a bitter waters of Marah, and then it's as though we forget all about what God has done for us, as though He would abandon us. Well, could God abandon these people? Here they are at the bitter waters of Marah. Has God forgotten about them? Look up! See that cloud up there? The Lord is here. The Lord is with us. And it got dark. That pillar of cloud turned into a pillar of fire. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, it led them all the way for 40 years to the land of promise. And that had led them, God had led them to the bitter waters of Marah. God had been so merciful to them. These are the people that He chose to be their nation, to be His nation. These are the people He redeemed by price and by power. These are the people He liberated. He's done all of this, fulfilling a covenant obligation and promise that He put Himself under when He gave His oath to Abraham. I'm going to give your seed this land. That's what God said. He's making good on His own oath. Would He lead them across the Red Sea? And then lead them 3 days to Marah, only to forsake them? God showed them sovereign mercy. He didn't show any mercy, any sovereign grace to the Egyptians. When the Lord, when He gave instructions to Moses about Passover lamb, there in Exodus chapter 12, He gave no instructions to Moses, go tell the Egyptians this too. There was no sharing of the good news of a Passover lamb. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. God didn't say, now go tell the Egyptians that too. No, He didn't send the good news to them. He only sent the good news to the Israelites. They're a favored people. And you and I, saved by sovereign grace, God sent us the gospel of redemption. A full atonement of saved by grace. We're safe in Christ Jesus. We're saved by covenant fulfillment and promise due to the promise of God. We're in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're forever safe. God hadn't told that to everybody. He hadn't made that promise to everybody, but He's made it to His people. And God has said to each one of us who know Him, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I received an email just today. A dear child of God said, I feel so alone. I feel so alone. Oh, child of God, you're not alone. Look up! See the pillar of cloud. Look up! Feel the warmth of the pillar of fire. You who are in dark, troublesome times, and some of God's people have some heavy burdens that they bear. Maybe burdens that they don't share with anybody. Nobody knows but God. There's some people who are all the time ready to tell you their troubles. There are other people who they play it close to the vest. They keep them within. And I say to the people of God who are troubled and you're at the bitter waters of Marah, look up, dear child of God. Your Lord is always with you. Always with you. And he even says, like David, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. And there's only one reason. Thou art with me. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Won't you? Anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be. If Jesus is there, you heard that song, didn't you? If Jesus is there, if Jesus is there, I can even go to the bitter waters of Marah. And my heart may be breaking over some trouble or some trial. But if he's there with me, no, never alone. Never alone. Tell you, God did things for Israel he didn't do for Egypt. He drowned the Egyptians. Not one of his people drowned. And none of his people will ever drown in the terrors of divine judgment. Our Lord Jesus bore all the judgment for us. Don't you understand? There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. All is good. All is good. These were a redeemed people. So there's the blessedness of the of Marah over Elam. There's the leading of the Lord. And here's the third thing I want to tell you. Life's experiences sure can change quickly, can't they? Oh, they change so quickly. They're up on the mountaintop. Isn't this wonderful? Whew, we just came through the Red Sea. Wow. Look at the enemy there. Look at all their bodies. Our God reigns. That's what they said. You read rest of the previous chapter 15. The Lord reigns. And then we get to the waters of Marah. Somehow or another we forget that he's still reigning. Shame on us. Yeah. Past mercies can be forgotten just like that. And that's when we find out there's nothing to us. We're saved by the grace of God. We're the children of the Lord. That's true. But we're still sinful people. Weak. Oh, they've just been singing about the faithfulness of God. The Lord is so good. I can just hear them talking to one another. The Lord's good to us, isn't he, brother? Oh, yes, he is. Amen, brother. You're so right. And then after 72 hours, what in the heck are we doing out here at these bitter waters? How'd we wind up here? Moses! You ain't much of a leader, Moses. What kind of pastor are you? Lead us out here, we're thirsty. Don't you see our women and children? Don't you see our cattle and our flocks? We're going to die right here, and it's your fault. I thought you were just singing about how the Lord reigned. We sure can't go to pieces real fast, can't we? It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. I'll tell you what, whether you remember or not, he does reign always, exercising his sovereign will and pleasure. So many of the people of the Lord are troubled, but he reigns forever. He reigns forever. I tell you three things that ought to encourage our hearts. Number one, the purpose of God that doesn't change. God, the God of purpose. Number two, the sovereignty of God. He governs all things. And number three, divine providence. That which His sovereign will ordained, His almighty providence, all the sweetness of providence is bringing to pass. It's all good. And let me tell you this, where providence leads you, the presence of God will go with you. That's good to remember in it. I don't say too many things worth remembering, but I believe that's a pretty good thing to remember. Where the providence of God leads you, the blessed presence of the Lord will go with you. Life's experiences can change quickly. Remember who it is who governs all things. And fourthly, what to do in time of trouble. How do you handle bitter experiences? Well, the Israelites grumbled, and Moses prayed. You can use your voice to do one of two things. You can grumble to others, or you can just talk to God about it. We're rather good at talking to others. And they bend your ear for a little bit. And boy, after a little bit, it's like, "Woo, you bent it enough. I don't want to hear any more." That's the way the people were. But Moses, he talked to the Lord. You can use your mouth one way or the other, to murmur or to pray. And the answer was immediate. You see that tree there, Moses? God showed him a tree. Maybe it had been there all along. Maybe Moses just hadn't paid any attention to it. I don't know. But God showed him, God revealed to him a tree. This tree is an emblem of our Lord Jesus, who is the tree planted by the waters. He's the one who meditates upon the Lord day and night. He's the tree. He's the green tree. He's the tree who gives forth fruit, Psalm 1. He's the one who always prospers in whatever he does. And I tell you, the fruit of this tree is life. Life because of that tree he hung on, the cross of Calvary. I tell you what will sweeten your bitter waters. If God would give you grace to see the tree again, to see substitution, to see satisfaction, and if God would enable you to see that tree cast into the bitter waters, it'll just make everything sweet. And you'll find there's really nothing bitter out there. I love what Brother Scott Richardson said years ago. He said, "I hadn't heard any bad news ever since I heard the good news." There is no bad news. You say what you will. God reigns. I'm His child. I'm safe forever. Let come what may. Whatever happens in this world, whatever happens in the United States, whatever happens in Kentucky, whatever happens with COVID-19, my God reigns, and He's my Father. And His Son's my Savior. Oh, give me grace, Lord, not to fear anything. Not to be afraid of anything. He governs. And then I'll say this all happened to prove Israel or put them to the test. That's what he says in verse 25. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. He put them to the test. I believe he failed that test, don't you? I believe they failed that test. You teachers, you know about passing or failing. Well, they sure didn't get an A on this. I believe they flunked this test. And I tell you, we flunk a lot of tests too. But I'm thankful the Lord doesn't fail us. No, he doesn't. Oh, you see, here's the promise of God. Read it carefully. Look at verse 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, keep them all, I won't put any of those diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians. Well, I guess that means I'm going to have a lot of the diseases and a lot of the plagues that fell upon Egypt fall upon me. No, now wait a minute. You have kept all the statutes. And you have kept all the laws. And you have kept all the ordinances in your representative, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, none of the diseases that afflicted and killed the Egyptians will ever fall on God's people. Impossible. That can't happen. Can't happen. Oh, they failed the test. But God came through for them. Yep. And then the Lord revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that restores thee. That's what the Lord said. And I'll say two or three things here. Christ is the healer of our troubles. If he's pleased to do so, whatever trouble you're in, whatever bitter waters you've come to in life, whatever afflicts you, whatever assaults you, whatever hurts you, he can just take it away just like that if he wants to. He who sent it can remove it if he's pleased to do it. Or he may be pleased to use means by which to sweeten the waters. You see that tree that he showed Moses, it had no healing virtue of its own, but God used the tree to accomplish healing. God uses medicine physically to heal people, uses surgery to heal people. The Lord healed the waters of Jericho by Elisha casting salt into them. The Lord used that to heal the waters of Jericho. God told Isaiah, lay a bunch of figs on the boils of King Hezekiah. Guess what? That was the means for his healing. Timothy had some kind of stomach ailment. You know what Paul said? Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Did him good. And James says that God makes use of both prayer and the anointing of oil to heal the sick. God is a God of means. He can use means or not use means. But he's the healer. He's the healer of our troubles. He's the healer of our physical diseases. But most importantly, he's the healer of our spiritual diseases. With his stripes, by his substitutionary sacrifice, we're healed. Healed of what? Spiritual diseases. And he has given to us a blessed wholeness. We're well. It's like John wrote in one of his epistles, I pray that your body will be as healthy as your soul is. He wrote that in 2 John or 3 John, one or the other. I pray to Gaius, he wrote, I believe it was, I pray that your body will be as well as your soul is, because your soul is well. He ain't sick anymore. He's a healer of our spiritual diseases. He heals the broken in heart. He binds up their wounds. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Well, do you find yourself at Marah? Well, we often do. But we know the Lord is leading us. He leads us to these bitter waters to fulfill his purpose, educate us, instruct us, show us what we are. We get to thinking we're, I'm a man of faith. Well, let's see how much faith you got. I'll put you out in the desert for 72 hours without a drop of water. Let's see how much faith you got. You say, I don't have much faith at all. Yeah, you need to learn that. Your own insufficiency, and then see what God does. See how he's a God of blessing. He's a God who meets our every need. It's good to come to Elam every once in a while. More blessed, though, to go to the bitter waters of Marah and then stand back and watch as our God casts in the cross of Calvary, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, and then see how those bitter waters just turn sweet. And you drink and drink and drink again. And you say, thank you, Lord, for giving me another drink of water. I bless you, man. Well, I hope that helps you. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for your tenderness to us. We're so totally dependent upon you every day. And some of your people, Lord, even now have come to some bitter waters in life. Lord, cast in the